We're going to be looking at today, does faith, do we have a faith, that works? Do we have a faith that works? Last week, we looked at, is favoritism fair? And so we see here in verse 13 in chapter 2, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown mercy, no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So the last week, as we looked at, to give a little bit of background here, we had two classes in society. You had a lot of rich people, the elites, and you had a lot of po folks, a lot of poor folks, as they call it down south, they call it po folks. And so they just barely made it through. But, you know, they say nowadays 70% of people who are in the workforce live paycheck by paycheck. So I think this is apropos to our churches today. We are part of society. We mingle in society and we work with society. So I like the Word of God because it's very practical. And I'm hoping to share with you here this morning some practical points. But, you know, do we have a faith that works? And so James starts off here. He says in verse 14, there's two basic questions here. Number one is, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and has not works? So you cannot have one without the other. As the old adage goes, you take away a paddle out of two paddles in a boat, you end up going in circles, right? Some people realize that today, that their faith only goes as far as wind. They only talk about it. And you know, wind blows through and it's gone. But there's no substance behind it. You have to have something to back up your faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm praying that this week, through the Holy Spirit, that we've had a very faithful week and we have good works to show for. It's important because with our hearts and our mind, God looks into that. And so what can we do if we have a faith without works? Okay, well, it's like we cannot trust God or some areas here for help if we are not making any effort. So if we're not making any effort, we're only the ones to blame ourselves, right? We have to make that effort. We got to give that try. And I'm sure we've all had the lazy disease. Everybody gets it every once in a while. It's like, nah, I'll put it off tomorrow. Well, if tomorrow comes, guess what? It's still going to be there. You can't get around it. You can't walk around it. You can't jump over it. You can't pray it away. And you got a job to do. And very thankful that we have some good people here that work very hard, that were raised to work very hard. We're very thankful for parents and grandparents that have a good work ethic. We cannot trust God for strength if we have strength and are not using it. Okay, so use what God has given us for His honor and glory. You may have something that somebody else has that somebody needs to have, and that you're holding back on it. Why are you holding back on it? Use it for the glory of God. You know, if it's not with one person, use it for somebody else. Don't hide those things that God has given us, because we're all going to be accountable for what we have. For we cannot trust for guidance if we are not following His leading now. So it's so important to be led by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we may be prayed up. Sometimes we may have read the Word. But sometimes we're not being led by the Spirit. And so as we need to do that, it's so important. Then we need to, we cannot trust God for prosperity if we have proof we cannot be trusted with it. So God will only give us so much as we can be trusted therewith. And, you know, God gives us gifts and God gives us talents to use for His honor and glory. And then we see God, we cannot trust God for truth when we will not act upon what we already know. And so if we want to share what we know, blessing, yes, we need to praise the Lord. We sang that this last, the chorus there, alleluia. That means praise. Praise Him. There's nothing better than having the joy of the Lord is our strength. We need that every day. We cannot trust God if we don't forgive, if we have not forgiven someone else there as well. So how can we trust the Lord? Well, you know, He forgave us. Why can't we forgive others about our works and our faith? And then we cannot trust God for mercy if we intend to commit the same sin again. Well, we need to pray about that because we all struggle with sin. We all need to ask God, Lord, help me, because this is a very deep hurt that I've been hurt with for a long time, and I'm not dealing with it right. We're all hurt individuals. Someone said to me years ago, you know, church is not just for believers, but spiritually speaking, it's a hospital for hurting people. And this world needs the church. This world needs Jesus. There are a ton of people out there that are hurting. I'm just struck down and I'm hurt because I'm thinking, man, you know, I thought I had a rough life. There are people out there who got it worse. And we need to pray for them. And then, see, we cannot trust God in our works for faith if we neglect His word. How true that is when we decide to go the other way. And, you know, we all need counsel. We all need advice. We all need to remember that our inclination is to walk away from God. The Bible says there's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. And there's that old flesh that likes to go, instead of going this way, oh, I think I'll go over here. And we need to get right back into the Word. Constantly, we need to water ourselves with the Word of God. Remember, the Word of God is the water of life. And we need to take that refreshing drink of water. As a good doctor would say, make sure you drink plenty of water, right? It's good for you. God wants us to drink from His Word and be flushed out of those impurities that are in our lives. Because if not, then we'll make ourselves spiritually sick. So God is always in the best for us. Do we have a faith that works? Well, He follows some of these principles. Maybe we can't remember everything, but let the Holy Spirit guide us in His Word and truth. So you see there are two basic questions there in verse 14. Second of all, we see in verses 15 through 17, a believer who is negligent and unconcerned. And this is where I think our faith, if it's going to work, we need to work on this as well. It says here in verse 15, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute, that means that they are without shelter, without clothes, without food. And if you ever been in a third world country, where I've had the privilege of when I was 17 going on 18, being in the United States Navy, I'll never forget being in the Philippines, walking among the villages and the people who had nothing except straw huts. And maybe every once in a while you get one of those little carts with bicycles that pass through, but they had nothing. So they resort to stealing. And the groups of kids will get together and they race after people like me. If I was by myself, they say, you're always going twos. Like in the Bible says, when you go out witnessing, try to go out in twos, like Jesus said with His disciples. But if you went out there by yourself in Subic Bay, where we were stationed, they would look for you. And there are all kinds of predators out there. And so we need to realize that We need the Lord's help at all time. It says, so a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, or be warmed. In other words, I'll pray for you. You know, the audacious thing to do is say to somebody, hey, you know what, I'll pray for you, when you have the need that you can meet their need. That's something else. How would we want to be treated that way if we reverse the model around? And if we don't trust somebody or don't really care about them or think that they're a liar, then we ought to take two steps back and check ourselves out and be very careful how we judge one another. We should be loving on one another. Okay? It says here, we're going on here, so if it says to him, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, in other words, you know, but you do not give them these things which need it for the body, what does it profit? It doesn't profit them. It doesn't profit you, right? In this world today. And thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So what happens in our life here is that sometimes things can just hinder us. And there are some good works that we can do. We can encourage one another today. You know, I was thinking about this, what was said in Sunday school. One person says, you know what? I'm here because I want to be encouraged. I thought, great. You know, we didn't sit around and talk about, you know, crack a bunch of jokes and get a lot of laughs and try to tickle each other's funny bone. But we were there for one another. We had a good time building each other up, not wearing each other down. And then also we need to restore one another. If we got something against somebody, we need to go tell that person, say in love, and say, look, I'm saying this very humbly, and please say it in the privacy when you're alone. So I just need to talk to you. This is really burning my heart, and please, I'm doing this out of love. And try to tell them you're doing it for all the right reasons. And then just be as humble as you can be and say, look, there's something I need to tell you. I've had people tell me this, myself too. And I thought, this is so wonderful. Because the person actually cares to tell me there's something wrong with me or something doesn't look right. You know, something seems to be out of focus. So we need to do that. Because God cannot bless if we're holding back on things and we're not letting our do a faith that works. Then also we see that we just need to be able to use our gifts and what we have. It says here in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, it says, and this also builds us up. We use our gifts in order to meet people's needs, is what I'm trying to say here. It says, Romans 12, 6 through 8 says, for having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. It's not talking about talents, talking about which are a natural talent. Some of us here are very talented in areas. That's why I'm hungry when I come to you. I say, I need your help because I don't understand this. But yet this is talking about spiritual gifts. And so it says here, it says, gifts differing according to the grace which is given to us. If it's prophecy, prophesies into a portion to our faith. So it's what God has laid onto our hearts from his word, okay? Or ministry. Let us use our ministering. So that's number two. So if we want to minister to one another, yes, and we do that in church. Thank God for that. We all have all kinds of talents and smarts and wisdom that we can share. We're just like, oh, we need this so much. We're so hungry here. And then we see he who teaches, teaching. So somebody can teach even a child. You know, somebody shared in Sunday school this morning, you know, a little kid, 5 years of age, asked somebody here at church, well, this happened at their work, hey, do you know Jesus is your Savior? I can guarantee you there was not, couldn't hear a pin drop in that store. If I was standing there, I would just stop what I would be doing. I'd be like, wow, a little five-year-old, remember, out of the mouth of babes come miracles. They can teach us things. And, you know, even two-year-olds that can sing songs, you know, Christian songs. I mean, I'm just amazed what God can do. Amen. We got to encourage each other and teach each other the ways of God and live it. And he who exhorts in exhortation. So we need to build each other up. And we're not talking about the pride of ego. That's got to go before we can do anything else. We need to be humble in the spirit and build each other up. And, you know, it's wonderful, you know, when the men and I get together for our meetings for the board, we can humble ourselves and talk about the things of God. We're all on the same page. And we love each other, and we know that God's doing some mighty works, and we're just waiting upon the Lord. We're not sitting around not doing anything, but as we take that verse in context, we'll lift ourselves up as eagles. We'll lift ourselves high above life circumstances, and God will answer our prayers as we look down. We're like, okay, it's time to go. So we'll soar right back down to the ground. We'll get to work. You know, God will give us the time when His time's right. Every time's right for everything. So He gives us teaching, exhortation, and He gives with liberty. It's not just talking about monetarily. It's talking about just giving. You know, Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than receive. Yes, it is. But, you know, I like it both ways. You know, I like to give and I like to receive on the other hand. Because, you know, I want God's blessing. Don't, please, today, don't turn away God's blessings. Somebody wants to bless you. It's not just a song. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Go out and be a blessing. There's a lady who shared with me this past week. She goes around, she doesn't do it all the time, but she sees things that people leave along the side of the road. And she'll just pick them up, and she'll pray, and God will lay it on her heart to give it to somebody who needs it. And say, well, what happens if she can't find somebody to give it to? Well, she'll give it to the secondhand store. Give it to somebody. Remember, everything that we own belongs to the Lord. He wants us to have these things to what? To enjoy. Enjoy it, you know? So, to give liberally, and he who leads with diligence. In other words, Lord, as one man said, he says, Lord, please give us our due diligence. Help us to be diligent, because it's so easy in this life to look around and get lost and forget. And we keep our due diligence, keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, it takes hard work when we have our faith in our works. It takes hard work. We have to work at it. Sometimes we have to keep on working at it. And then that finally start seeing God's blessings. Say, Lord, I'm really tired and I'm starting to see double right now. But you know what? You're showing me a blessing and let me go through it. What am I saying to you all? You all been through the fire. Okay. And I pray for those online. No different. But you know what? God gives us the due diligence and grace to go through it. And He shows us mercy with cheerfulness, you know. The opposite of mercy is what? Judgment. And so we need to be merciful and be merciful to people as Christ has been merciful to us and with cheerfulness. Somebody hurt you this past week? Somebody that you love has hurt you very much or continues to hurt you? Love them. Love them. Sometimes people who hurt other people a lot have done wrong. So they're angry and they just want to hurt other people. You know, and just remember where that's coming from. That's not confusion. Confusion's from the devil, but they're out to hurt people because they've done wrong and they feel guilty about it. So we need to love them and be cheerful and knowing that the truth is what? Set us free. That's what it is. Satan loves to confuse things and to keep things under wraps, so to speak. So we see here there's also other verses about our gifts, but I don't have the time to get into all them. I think the Lord wants me to get back to James and James chapter 2. So we see thirdly, number 3 in verse 18, it says here, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith by your works and I will show you my faith by my works. So usually that happens if we're not showing it. It could be a number of things. It could be lack of effort. We're not really giving it everything we can. And you know what? It's not for me to judge. Remember I said that earlier? We're not here to judge people. We're here to love them in Christ, let God convict. But you know and I know in our hearts that, you know, we're not, if we're not growing in the Word of God, if we're just, you know, like it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, if we're just still sucking off the milk of the Word of God, it's not necessarily, we're not really growing. If we want the meat, we need to get into the meat of God, like it says in Hebrews 5:13. But it requires work, you know, to rightly divide the word of truth so we can be a blessing to others. Also, with this, the hindrance of growth is discouragement. I know that I got a little pill of that the other day. I was feeling a little discouraged, and I shared that with Wednesday night prayer group. I don't like to share my weaknesses with people. That's just my pride speaking. Well, I can suck it up, buttercup. You know, a little discouragement can wear you down. We live in a culture that can wear us down. Discouragement can wear us down. Temptations can wear us down. So, you know, we have to keep on going. Say, Lord, I'm going to keep on going. It's like one person said, till I'm 6 feet under. You know, if I die trying, hey, at least I'm trying, because my faith does work. It does. And so we see there's a law of disuse. A knife stays bright when it's used, but unused, it becomes rusty. That Bible verse, Proverbs 17:17, the iron sharpens iron. Well, we need to sharpen one another up. And I thank God that when some things don't make sense sometimes with people, I let God have the time. I say, Lord, you know, you work all things together for good for those who love the Lord, who are called according to God's purpose. And for those who love the Lord, God will bring it to you. And be patient, be diligent. In due time, God will answer your prayer. You may not see it now. Give him a chance. Give God a break. Take a break and relax. Let God can take in control of everything. So, and then there is the law of indifference. Crops and trees and flowers do not grow when they're well crowded. Well, when we crowd out our lives, what happens is that we get confused, dismayed, we get weary, we get tired. How many of you all are going to go to the fairgrounds this year, this summer? How many of you been to a fair? And lots of wonderful smells and the people and the excitement and the flavors are in the air and the rides and everything. But sometimes you get so crowded. You know, it's just like being to a ball game. You go to the ball games, sometimes you get so crowded. And then you can't wait to get in, and then you can't wait to get out. Well, you know, it's the same way when it happens when we become indifferent to people because we're around people all the time. It's real easy. And then, of course, with that being said, so we need to be faithful in that area and not be sidetracked as it is. And then we see here in verses 19 and 20. Let me read that. It says here, let me find that here. Okay. You believe that there is one God, you do well, but even the demons believe and must tremble. But do you not want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? So even in the spiritual realm, when you sense that there is a spiritual attack, and let me just say this through the authority of the Word of God, I'm hiding behind the cross and I'm saying this because I am no match for the enemy. But through the grace of God, greater is he that's in me than he is in the world. And I'll tell you something, that God is in control of all things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. God is in control. So whatever happens is good enough for me because God will protect me. And if I'm out of God's will, he has ways of just correcting me and getting me right back into line. That's why there is nothing wrong when God chastises, when God shows us something's wrong, because our faith does not match up to our works. And we're going to see some examples about that here in a moment. But I'm going to tell you what, there are examples of people who've had faith, who believe. There's one man called Dr. Washington Carver, world-famed scientist in the Tuskegee Institute, who came up out of slavery. He discovered 150 products that can be gotten from out of the common sweet potato, and 300 products that came out of a humble peanut. And here goes a man that is like an engineer / a genius. And he says here that there's a man asked him, he goes, well, how did you come about this? And this man replied, was one day I asked God what could be made out of a peanut. And God said to me, you have the brains, find out for yourself. My point is that God has given us the intellect, God has given us the spiritual capacity and the physical capacity to figure things out for ourselves. And we have to go by faith and work on it, regardless of the hindrances that we may have spiritual battles. We talked about this in Sunday school, where we need to what? Have our whole armor of God on. If we don't, we're weaponless. And then right after that, after Ephesians chapter in verse 10 through 18, verses 19 and 20, in Ephesians chapter 6, we need to pray. And then Paul says, even after those verses, verse 13 on to the toward the end of that epistle, he says, you know what? We need to go ahead and be ambassadors for Christ. So people are watching us every day, and it's exciting. You know, if we have people come visit us, we don't see all the time. We're praying for them all the time. We're just happy to see them here. And I'm happy to see everybody here, because some people I don't see all week long, but I'm happy to see them and talk to them and to encourage them. So God is saying, look, we have a salvation that works. We have a need that works. We cannot do one without the other that works. Even the demons tremble at that, and that works. And then we see here two beautiful examples that have come up that we have from Abraham and Rahab. You have to remember, Abraham was a Jew. Rahab was what? A Gentile. It's very interesting. You know, as I studied this, I came to the conclusion here. Let me read to you here. It says, all right, in verse 21, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? And remember, Abraham means the father of all living. And when he's offered his Isaac, that means laughter, his son, on the altar. And, you know, he was called that. And remember, Sarah had the baby very late in the stage, and she laughed, and so she called her son Laughter, you know. And I had my son's wife just had a baby recently, and it was just wonderful to see life. And I started thinking about this story. Listen to this with Abraham. In Genesis 22, we don't have the time to get into all that, but he basically, you know, took his only son to this spot to sacrifice him upon a rock. A lot of people today think that's where the Dome of the Rock is, where in Jerusalem is where that is. But anyway, so took him there, and the son had questioned him, says, Dad, you know, I'm just paraphrasing this, where's the lamb? But God had chose a ram, which is a male lamb, okay, in the thicket, and it was caught. So God provided that, and God said, you know, making my point, God's saying, look, by faith, you're going to take your only one, the only one, and because you did that, he says, I'm going to bless you upon measure. And what I'm trying to say here this morning, folks, stay faithful. Stick to your works. Believe what you believe in. Give it everything. Give it 100, 200%. I know some people here just, you hear that expression, shop till you drop. Some people just keep on going, and then they're just, oh my gosh, this person's still going to make it. They're still going to be alive. They just keep going. They're like the Energizer Bunny. They just crank it up. They just go. And we need to encourage one another. Keep going. So, you see that Abraham, he was justified by his works. And then they were seen here in verse 22, his faith was working together with the works, and the works of faith made perfect. That means it was mature, it was complete, it was done. It was wonderful when you run the race of life, and then, you know, you're finished at the end of the day, and you're like, oh, that was a good race. Now I have to make plans for tomorrow, for tomorrow's race. And the scripture was fulfilled, what was saying faith was, scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham, believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man justified by works, but not by faith only. Then he does the last example here with Rahab. Remember, she was in Jericho. She was a lady who was a Gentile who invited two spies to come in. The king of Jericho, if you read there, and Joshua chapters 2 and 6, he was looking for these two spies. And what did she do? She hid them in the roof. Okay? And they were kept on looking for these spies because they were afraid, their hearts melted within them because they knew that Israel was coming. They didn't repent. They were a pagan nation. We need to pray for our nation because it's not a Christian nation anymore. It's a pagan nation. There's so much woke around here. I'm hearing this from all around the country. People I talk to, pastors, family, people I know. This is not a Christian nation. This is a woke nation, a godless nation. They woke up to a big lie as far as I'm concerned, this church is concerned. So anyway, Rahab, she hid the two spies in the roof, and they went looking around, and then they left the city, went up the mountains there. They went looking for them again. The spies came back into the gate, and they went back to Rahab's house. Rahab had that scarlet cord hanging from her window. And they, of course, the spies, as you know, they escaped again, and they went back and told Joshua. And the beautiful part is that, like what it says in Joshua chapter 1, and I'm just going to turn there briefly here, and Joshua made a command here. He says, verse 8, Joshua chapter 1, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but ye shall meditate in day and night, and you may observe all that is according that is written in it, and then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success." Now, this is my point, verse 9. You need to hear about this, because this goes with Rahab, this goes with Abraham. We're saved by faith, and this goes for the church today. "Have I not commanded you, be strong?" We have the Holy Spirit in us, right? Be strong. We have what it takes, but, and of good courage. We need the courage to do that. And that's the force of the Holy Spirit that guides and directs us in His will and day in our day, everyday life. We need not to be afraid or dismayed. And the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I know it's hard. It's tough to go out there and live our faith and our works at times. It's tough. And what I'm going to conclude with this, three steps here. Do we have a faith that works? Number one, empty confession doesn't work. In Matthew chapter 7, in verses 16 through 18, Jesus says here, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes and thorn bushes or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and bad trees bear bad fruit. Good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and cannot a bad tree bear good fruit." So you can't have one or the other. You have to realize that you want to have good fruit in your life. So for our faith that works, that fruit is what? The Holy Spirit in your life. So people who don't know the Lord, they're going to bear bad fruit. Or if, even as a Christian, if you're living in the flesh, what are you going to bear? Bad fruit. So that doesn't work. Number two, false compassion doesn't work. In Luke chapter 10 and verses 35 Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 35 is the story of the Good Samaritan. And so it says here, "And then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down to Jerusalem, Jericho, and fell among thieves, and was stripped from his clothing, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came along the road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. And likewise a Levite who worked in the temple." They were workers in the temple. "He came on by, arrived at the place, and came to look, and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He cared. And that's my point here. You probably heard the story of the Good Samaritan over and over again. But what stuck out to me was that he had compassion. He had passion. He cared. And so he went to him and bandaged his wounds. You know the rest of the story there. And then, of course, there's the last one, is shallow convictions. In Luke chapter 6, and with our faith and our works, verses 46 through 49 says, And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I'll show you whom he is like. In other words, faith without works, dead works. Or he's just working your way to heaven, but doesn't have the genuine faith of Jesus Christ. He's like a man building a house, dug deep, and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he had heard and did nothing. And again, that jumped out of the pages out of me. He heard it, but he did nothing. And what happened to his house in the rest of that verse? His house had a great fall. Boom. And because he didn't do anything. I don't know if this man had a paralyzing fear or if he didn't care, but he did not have a faith and a works. And you cannot have works without faith. So one or the other. So, you know, God help us if we don't do something. And we pray that people will wake up. The church will wake up everywhere, everywhere. And as I'm closing with this, church will wake up to the truth of Jesus Christ and realize that, you know, our country, pray for our country too. If it doesn't wake up soon, like it says, the history professor says, if people don't do anything, nothing's going to get done. And Satan loves that when people don't do anything. It's one thing being tired, exhausted, and you're saying, Lord, I've had a good day. I put in a good day's work, and I've worked hard, and you know what? I feel blessed. That's different. But when you could have, and you should have, and you would have, that's a different story. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your faith, because it's your faith that saved us. You imputed that into us as righteousness and your holiness that dwells within us. We're saved because we believe, we responded to the faith that you gave to us. And then, Lord, as we responded, we accepted you as Savior. And thank you for that. And thank you for the works that we have, that you have shown us from times past. You had already preordained these works for us to walk in. These works. So nothing surprises you. Lord, we pray that we can be a blessing to others. Help us not to be hindered by this world or by our flesh or by our dominion of demons out there. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have the power, we have the strength in you. Help us to do this, Lord, to give us the courage. You've given us the strength. Help us to be encourageable to one another, Lord, through your word. We just pray for those who, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, as the old gospel message, Lord, come to him now, accept him as your Savior. Your time is short. There's only one day at a time that you can live. Look to the Savior, Jesus Christ. He died for you. He gave you a life through his death, burial, and resurrection. Accept him today as God pricks your heart. Lord, pray that you will continue to teach us these things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.